Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Samech Vav. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf is Lenos Zech Nishmas Libergav Yelosh Bashmuel. Today, God willing, we're going to finish the ninth parak of the Masechta, and tomorrow that we, if all goes according to plan, tomorrow we'll start the tenth parak. The ninth parak dedicated itself to the topic of Pesach. How to release somebody from a neder? What exactly is the mechanism in terms of release? So the parak went by very quickly, and that's because really it's a short parak. It started Samech Dalet and now Samech Vav. So we are going to come to a conclusion. But basically, the ideas that we saw behind Pesach is that it's got to be something, a factor that you did not take into consideration at the time when you made the neder. It was there and it was in existence at the time when you made the neder. You just didn't take it into account. And you go to a chacham and the chacham's going to sit with you and go over, did you think about this, X, Y, and Z? X, Y, and Z had to have been there at the time when the neder was made. And if that is something that you legitimately, honestly, did not take into consideration, so then he's going to release you from your neder based on that Pesach. As Mishnayos and in general, what the Gemara tries to do is basically paint the corners. I know some of you don't speak strike zone, but it's fine either way. And by painting the corners, I mean, in other words, where exactly are the parameters of this halacha regarding Pesach? What precisely can be a Pesach and what cannot be a Pesach? So we already learned from the beginning of the Mishnayos in the ninth parak that certain Pesachim are just not going to be considered a good Pesach, although Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with some of them, but they're not going to be a Pesach. So, for example, we already saw in the beginning of the parak, back on Samech Dalet, you can't make a Pesach using kavod aviv imo. You can't use the honor of your mother and father. Just in other words, no one's going to be honest under those circumstances. Or, for example, you can't use a Pesach based on a nolad, based on a future event, an event that did not a factor that was not there at the time when you made the neder, but only materialized later. So that also is not going to be a Pesach as well. And we talked about things that are kind of nolad. That's what we discussed yesterday in yesterday's Mishnayos. I'm not going to the house because there's a crazy dog there or there's a snake there. And the Mishnah says is that if you discover that the snake or the dog is not there, so then that's going to be good. Why should that be? So yesterday we saw two opinions in the Gemara. Either number one, because really it was a neder made al tanai, was a neder made with a condition. Condition's gone, neder's gone. Or it could be that the Mishnah is just reflecting another example of you were misinformed. You thought there was a dog there, but really there was no dog there. Or the dog already died at the time when you made the neder. That was Rabbi Yochanan's viewpoint. Let's go on. We're going to be starting today the Mishnah on Samechem and Beis. Poschen la'adam b'ksuvas ishta. So let's say, for example, ksuvas of his wife is tremendous. Tremendous meaning not great. Tremendous meaning it's a lot of money. Okay, the ksuva, we spent the entire Masechta talking about, it's basically a prenuptial agreement between husband and wife. And the ikar ksuva, the base amount of the ksuva, is that a husband is going to commit himself to owing his wife a certain amount of money upon death or divorce. That's the ikar ksuva. That's the basic idea behind the ksuva. And it's the Gemara in Ksuvas mentioned a couple of times that the basic point of the Ksuva is to basically have the husband think twice before divorcing his wife and turn it into a financial consideration. You know, if you divorce her, this is what you're going to have to pay her. So, poskan la'adam b'ksuvas ishto. So the Mishnah tells us that a person made a neder against his wife and it's going to basically result in a divorce. And so the Chacham can say to him, did you consider the Ksuva payment that you're going to have to pay her? This is not a new development. It was there at the time when he made the neder. So the Mishnah says it's a legitimate way to create a Pesach. And then the Mishnah follows up with a story. So a man made a neder against his wife that he's not going to get any benefit from his wife. And the ksuva was a significant ksuva, 400 zuz. Two times the base amount of the ksuva. It was a significant amount of money. And it goes to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, okay, you made a neder, it's going to result in a divorce, and now you're going to have to pay her the ksuva amount. So now this guy tells Rabbi basically a sob story. And he says to Rabbi, to Rabbi Akiva, you know, let me give you some background. My dad died. He left 800 dinarim. And my brother took 400, I took 400. I guess we're going to, Bechor is not part of the equation. Maybe there's an oldest girl in the story. But either way. So anyway, my brother took 400, I took 400. So lo daeshi titol hima saim vani masayim. So he's negotiating with Rabbi Akiva. So look, the only thing I got as part of the Yerusha was 400. So can I go splits on my Yerusha? I'll give her 200, but let me keep 200. So amale Rabbi Akiva, afil ata mocher sar roshcha. Now, I'll say it a little bit nicer, and then I'll let Rabbi Akiva do the talking. But basically, I'll say it nicer. You owe the ksuva; it's an obligation. You can't negotiate now. How right that you can't 50 cents on the dollar. You have to go dollar for dollar what you owe. Okay, that's a nice way to say it. Rabbi Akiva, however, just wants to make sure that the person understands. You could sell the hair on your head. You're going to have to pay the ksuva. Meaning it's not even an issue. You owe her the money, you pay her the money. It's that simple. So the guy says to Rabbi Akiva, you know what? If I would have known all this, I never would have made my neder to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva said, good. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Good, the neder has been, you've been released from the neder. And again, it's not a nolad. Huh? He's not gonna get benefit from her. Or she's not going to get benefit from him. And as a result, it's okay. The result of which is that they're going to get a divorce. That's all. And then when it came down to the ksuva payment, he realized, oh, this is really serious, and then made him think twice. Okay, a couple technical points that the Gemara takes up with, and that is metaltele mimishtabde. So first of all, the Gemara is bothered because it sounded like she's going to get money. Now, again, we've gone through ksuvas, we know this already, should know this backwards and forwards. Now we know that the ksuva is an obligation, but the ksuva is really grounded in ground. Okay, do you like my alliteration for today? You don't have to like it. In other words, karka. It's mortgage based. It's going to be based on property, and so you don't pay money. It's not a cash payout. In other words, you pay with your property. The property there is securing the ksuva. So what is Rabbi Akiva talking about? What's the conversation about money? When we know that money is not there as a lien against the ksuva, but rather it's property. So the Gemara answers, Amr Abaye, karka shava ches meos dinar. So Abaye says, okay, but that's not a problem. When the Mishnah said 800, the Mishnah wasn't talking about dollars. The Mishnah wasn't talking about coins. The Mishnah was talking about land that was valued at 800 denari. Fine. So the Gemara says, the Haktani Arosho. Now, Rabbi Akiva says to him, you know, you could sell the hair on your head and you're still going to have to pay the ksuva. So Vitsarisho Metaltelehu. Now, as far as the hair on his head is concerned, so that's Metaltelin. Now, the simplest way to approach this, which the Gemara doesn't do, is you could just simply say that Rabbi Akiva was speaking in hyperbole. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva was just simply saying, whatever it takes, you're going to have to owe the money. But the Gemara, however, is looking at the language of Rabbi Akiva and taking it very literally. My hair on your head, hair on your head. So that's metautal, and that's movable. So the Gemara says, afil atab mocher se roshcha v'ochel. Even if it means that you give away all your property, meaning, because again, the property is what's securing the ksuva. You give away all your property. What about you and what about your food? All right, so you'll take your hair and you'll cut your hair and you'll sell your hair. Meaning the hair is not going to be there to satisfy the ksuva. The hair is going to be there for the fact that you simply have no money left, and as a result of that, you're going to do whatever you need to do in order to eat yourself. So shamas minayim misajin labachov. So the Gemara says, first of all, a point that we're going to see together later in the cycle of Shas, and that is this concept of ein misar labachov. Okay, very popular nowadays, unfortunately. A lot of people are in debt. But basically, let's go over some sort of payment plan. Right? So payment plan is not a new idea. It's not a new concept. It's an old idea that gets kicked around. And meanwhile, this is a machlokas in the Gemara, whether or not you're Masada or you're not Masada. Do you work out some sort of payment plan? And it's very clear from our discussion here in the Mishnah and in the Suin Gemara, no, there's no payment plan to talk about. Meaning, he divorces her. He owes her money. You owe the money? You pay the money. What about the fact that right now you have nothing left? Okay, you have an obligation. You have to pay that obligation. She's owed the money. You pay her the money. The fact now that you are going to be doing some some seemingly extreme means in order to support yourself. Okay, but ein mesar al ba'chov. This sounds like from our discussion that there is no payment plan.
The fact that he was bargaining doesn't mean
he wasn't bargaining. He all he was doing was advancing an idea that's just simply not even an idea.
But even the idea of bringing it on, that means that he was serious about the nether. Otherwise, he would have taken it right away and said, okay,
No, the fact that he was bargaining means that he wasn't serious about the nether. Meaning the idea that, oh, you know what, 400, nah, not 400, let's say 200. Meaning in other words, there's something where you know about it and then you understand it. Right? This person knew that, you know, he had a $400 ksuva, but he didn't understand it. And then when push comes to shove, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, let me help you understand. It's not just this number, meaning you're going to have to pay it. And then he's starting to understand it more and more, and then he's like, oh, you know what? You're right. And now he knew it, but now he's like really beginning to like understand what it means, what 400 zuz is actually going to mean. Amar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak. One more point the Gemara is going to make on this incident. We're now on the top of Samech Vav Amenal of Lomer She'ein Mekarin Shtar Ksuva. You don't tear up the Shtar Ksuva. And the Ron explains in this context what that means is that she holds the Ksuva until full payment is made. It's an obvious point, but in the context of our discussion is he pays as much as he can. What about the fact that he needs to eat? Okay, that's his problem. He pays as much as he can, and she holds the ksuva until payment is made in full. Okay, fits into the previous point that the Gemara made. Next Mishnah, we're now on the top of Samech Vav Amin Aleph. Poskim Yamim Tov V'Shabasos. Person makes a neder and he says, you know, for the year, I'm not going to drink wine. Now, wine might not be the best example. You'll see in just a moment why, but let's say I'm going to go the whole year not drinking wine. So, and now you know that part of the year, every seventh day, there's something called Shabbos. Okay, I think we're familiar. And on top of that, we also know that Yontif as well. And now, so you're going to go the whole year not drinking wine and Shabbos and Yontif as well? Now, I know wine is not the best example because there's Kiddush and Kiddush Alayayin, although we discussed this just the other day. It doesn't have to be wine. You can make Kiddush over bread. Okay, so if you don't like wine as an example, so we could say meat. Okay, just as another example. But again, the idea is as follows. In other words, during the week, we, hopefully with moderation, and then on Shabbos, we enjoy eating, because that's part of Shabbos. And so now, so poskim yamim v'shabbosos. So what you can do to the person now and say as follows, look, you're going to go the whole year without meat. Now, did you take into consideration that there's Shabbos, and you like eating meat on Shabbos, and did you take that into consideration when you made such a neder? And that can serve now as a legitimate Pesach. But now we're going to go over a point that we made earlier in the Masechta, but we get to now review again. Now, originally they said that all the days are going to be remain Aser except for Shabbos. Meaning the Pesach was for Shabbos, and so therefore the Pesach is only for Shabbos. But Asha bar Rabbi Akiva, but here comes Rabbi Akiva once again. That the neder, once part of the neder is released, the entire neder is released. So in other words, there's a concept, there's an idea in Psichas HaNedarim, in the exit of Nedarim, that once there's part of the neder where you're going to get released from, you're going to be released from the entire neder. Why should that be? So you take a look at the second run on this Amid, he quotes the Yerushalmi. It's Xeris Akasov. In other words, there no svara to provide over here. Just simply, that's how the Torah generates this idea. Look at the second round in this Amud. I'm reading Alfin Alab Yerushalmi. We learn it from a Gemara Yerushalmi. Midichsiv, the pasuk says, Kechol Hayotze Mipiv Yasa. The Torah says everything that comes out of his mouth, he's got to abide by. And now the key word over here is Kechol, everything. Demash Madafka Bishikulo Kayim. When is the neder going to be enforced? When the entire neder is enforced. But once you make a dent in the neder, like our example, where the release now came for Shabbos, that's the seventh of his neder. So once there's a dent in the neder, so no, you no longer have kulo, so therefore the entire neder goes away. If you take a look at the Rush over here, the Rush gives a different explanation. He doesn't quote the Yerushalmi, but the Rush writes, it's in my Gemara, not every layout is the same. In my Gemara, it's the Shabbos, okay. Also, Hayamim, It's the third wide line. Okay, the third mid-range line. I'm reading from the Parish of Rush. This is what I wanted. Okay. Now, you didn't, obviously, the Pesach wasn't for the entire Neder. The lo Neder mikara ela adashis kaim kula. So the Rush over here says because it's built into the Neder when it was originally made. In other words, it's an umdana. It's a general assumption that we make regarding people. When people make a neder, they're looking only at the totality of the neder. Once part of the neder goes away, so then it's as if he said, you know what, that wasn't the terms of my neder. The terms of my neder from the origination was, I either want the entire neder or I want none of the neder. So it's not the halacha is not generated by a pasuk; it's generated by this logic. Yeah, we have this right. We have this idea in other areas of halacha as well. It's not right. It's not. It's correct. Correct. Right. The Gemara Makos, Mishnah Makos. It's not exclusive to this idea. Okay. So Ketzan. So let's just go over some examples. The Mishnayos over here are going to give a number of examples of this concept. Again, a lot of this we saw earlier in the Masechta. It's a good review. Amakonim sheninena lekulchem. So let's say he turns to a group of people and he says, I'm not going to get benefit from all of you. Now, it's interesting. A group of people, you can always group people together, right? This daf yomi. So in other words, we're talking about a group of people that come to the daf. But in other words, it's a little bit arbitrary, meaning, we're just identifying something they have in common. However, in the world of Nadarim, that's exactly the point. Even though it's a group of people, as long as I'm pooling them together in my neder, so then, hoter echemehem, hoter kulan. So once one of them gets released from my neder, so then that means that the whole neder goes away. Sheininena lezeh lezeh. Now, the next case of the Mishnah, if you remember, we discussed this way back, earlier in the Masechta, where the neder over here, it's like a row of dominoes, where I made a neder and I said, I'm not going to get benefit from him. And then I went to a second person and I said, just like I'm not going to get benefit from him, I'm not going to get benefit from you. And I keep attaching the next person to the person in front of him. And so, like any good row of dominoes, so what happens? So, huta rishon huta kulan. So if you get a heter from the first one, well, everyone was connected to the one in front of them, all going back to the first guy. So then the neder is going to be released for all of them. However, if I only get a heter from the last person, so meaning the last person that was connected to the one in front of him was connected to the one in front of him, and I only got a heter from the last one, so then only the last one goes and the rest of them remain in force. And then, if you remember, there's that parentheses line in the Mishnah, which we also discussed back earlier in the Masechta. Let's say I get a heter from somebody in the middle, so anyone behind him is also going to be hutar, and anyone in front of him is not going to be mutar. That's, again, what we saw earlier in the Masechta as well. Shaninen lezeh karban lezeh karban. Let's say I start pointing, I'm speaking to a group, but I point everyone out, and I say, you're going to be like a carbon to me, and you're going to be like a carbon to me, and I keep repeating the word carbon as I point to every individual. So now it's no longer a group. It is all separate nadarim, and so therefore, if I want a heter, I want a heter from each and every one of them. I make a neder against wine because I hear that wine is terrible for the intestinal system. So then, someone says, "Halom yushan yafalamayin." Yeah, but that's not true by every wine. Some wines are very good for the intestines. Old wine, for example, is excellent for the intestines. Hutam yushan v'lom yushan bavad hutar ala b'chol yayin. So now, once you got a heter for part of your neder, so now your entire neder is released. Just another example. Another example. Konim batzal shani tom shah batzal ralalev. All right, somebody tells you that onion is bad for the heart. So so therefore you make a neder against the entire family of onions. Amrula alo kufri yafalalev. What do you mean? Not every onion is bad for the heart. The kufri onion. Don't ask, I don't know. But whatever, it's a species, it's a subspecies. So it's great for the heart. And then the Mishnah tells us, good. And now you have a heter for the entire onion family. Because once part of the neder is released, the entire neder is released as well. And then the Gemara just simply tells us, Maitzarav. Meaning there was an actual incident where a person made a neder against the entire onion family, then discovers that the kufri, in fact, is good for the heart. So now Rabbi Meir gave him a heter for not only the kufri onion, but for all onions as well. start with the Gemara. So again, the Ran either quotes, it's either from the pasuk of Kechol Hayotze Mipiv. The Ran says that it's a drasha, that we don't see that drasha in the Bavli. Meaning you can go from the Nedarim from cover to cover. We're not going to see that drasha inside. The Ran quotes the Yerushalmi that quotes the drasha. Or the Rush says is basically it's a general assumption that we make. When the person initiated the Neder, he only was going to comply with this Neder if the entire Neder is in force. Okay. The Gemara is going to make a couple of just very small points. Hutar achron achron mutav kol nasur and mantana amar rabbi Rabbi Shimon hi damar achi amar shvu lechol echad ve'echad. So the first point the Gemara makes is that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. We know that that Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara in Shvuah says that if you deny owing money to somebody and then later on you admit that you lied, so there's a special karban that you need to bring. So what if, let's say, there's a group of people and you make an oath to every person? If you're going to be chayv a karban for every oath that you make, you have to keep repeating the word shvua, shvua, shvua. Meaning, I'm going to make a shvua to you, and I'm going to make a shvua to you. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in Masechta Shvua. So the Gemara just simply points out over here that our Mishnah is going like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Because our Mishnah says, how do you individualize a neder to every group? You have to keep repeating the word karban, karban, karban. And the Ran points out, if you don't keep repeating the word karban, even if you say you and you and you and you and you, and you string everybody together with a vav, it's not going to make a difference. It only becomes individual statements when you keep repeating the word karban, much like Rabbi Shimon and the Gemara Shvuos keeps repeating the word shvua. Okay, and then the Ran goes into a small discussion about that this in fact is the halacha. The halacha does fall like Rabbi Shimon because we have a Mishnah and our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, so it goes like Rabbi Shimon, and the Mishnah Shvuos is a Stam Mishnah. Okay, Konim Yan Shani Tomim. Next, Tepagle Dein Ra. Now the Gemara over here is bothered by a very it's not a small point, but it's a subtle point, and that is he made the neder of the working with the assumption that, you know, I heard wine is bad for the intestinal system. You don't need to find out that wine is good. All you need to learn is that wine isn't bad. Meaning neutral is okay. The only reason why he made the neder is because he heard that wine was bad. So the truth of the matter is that for the Mishnah to get a Pesach out of your neder, you don't have to go from bad to good. All you need to go is from bad to neutral. Neutral is fine. Nothing's wrong with neutral. So why did the Mishnah have to go from bad to good? So I'm a Rabbi Abba of Od Yafa Ketanim. So Rabbi Abba says, right. Meaning, what the Mishnah is telling us is, point number one, is that as long as wine isn't bad, so now you have a Pesach. And then it just also happens to be that some wine is good for the intestinal system. Konim batzel shani tom shabatzel v'chule tepuk leidein ra. I'm Rabbi Abba v'od yafa ketani. And then the Gemara makes the same exact point regarding the onion. You didn't have to say that the onion is good for the heart. Again, neutral would have been fine. The only reason why he made the net is because he heard that onion is bad for the heart. So again, there's nothing wrong with neutral. Neutral's good. Neutral's good. Well, right, out of context, that sounds so smart. So, but right, neutral would never have made the neder had it been neutral. But again, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Number one, even if the onions were neutral, that would have been a legitimate Pesach. And furthermore, just as a point of fact, some onions are good for the heart. Next, poskan la'adam b'chod atzmo uchvod banav. You can make a Pesach based on the person's very own kavod or the kavod of his own children. Now you remember, this is a contrast with the first Mishnah that we learned in the Perek. Going back to Daf Samach Dala, the Mishnah said that you cannot, again, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, but the Chachamim's opinion is, and the accepted halacha is, you cannot make a neder using the kavod of your parents. And the reason why, we learned earlier, is because when it comes to your parents, you're not going to tell the truth. Meaning, the question on the table is, did you know that this would be an affront to your parents had you made the neder? And because the person has so much honor for his parents, he's not going to tell the truth. Meaning, even if he knew, even if he took it into consideration, he's not going to say, yeah, I knew that. So, and we need honesty. So in the first Mishnah, we learned that using the kavod of Aviv Imo is unacceptable. You can't use that as a Pesach. But kvod atzmon, kvod banav, your own honor and the honor of your children, the Mishnah says, good. Omrim lo. So the Mishnah over here gives an example. Ilo ha'isa yodeh shalamachar omrin alecha kach hi vestor shaploni. Do you know? You made a neder. And in this particular case, the neder, again, has something to do with his wife that's going to result in a divorce. And as a result of that, so the Chacham says to him, did you know? Here's what people are going to say. Kachi vestor shaploni, this is the way of so-and-so. Megarishes nasha, he divorces his wives. The albin osecha you omrin. And you know what they're going to say about your children. So unfortunately, just true, Benos Grushosain, they're the daughters of divorcees. Omara sa iman shal elis garesh. And what did mom do that resulted in a divorce? So again, things to take into consideration before going through with the neder and following through with the neder. And these are legitimate ways to create a Pesach. So, and if his answer is, if his response is, oh, you're right, I didn't take that into consideration, that would serve as a legitimate Pesach to get out of his neder. And if he answers, and again, we're going to assume honesty on the answer, if he answers and he says, oh, I didn't know that, and if I knew that, I never would have made my neder, he's a mutter. So the Mishnah says, good. Konim shaninose es plonis ka'ora. Suggested shidduch to the person was a particular girl. And he says, oh no, she's not attractive. And it turns out that she was attractive. Shchora v'arei levana. Or let's say he thought that she had a very dark complexion. Meanwhile, she did not have a dark complexion. Ktsara v'arei arucha. He thought that she was very short. And as a result of that, I'm making an edda that I'm not going to marry her because she's vertically challenged. And meanwhile, he aruka. It turns out, not the case. So, mutter ba. So, the neder is mutter. Lo mipne, just one second. Lo mipne shi ka'ora v'nasas na, shchor v'nasas levana, ksar v'nasas aruka. And it's not because anything changed. Elasha neder taos. It happens to be that all the information was given to him was misinformation. He was simply wrong from the very beginning. Okay, good.
What if she grew?
Huh?
What if she grew?
Okay, so now you're talking about a nola. So stay tuned, because we're gonna discuss that right now. So our Mishnah right now is introducing us to a neder taos. Now this show should sound very familiar because yesterday's daf, we quoted today's daf, meaning this is a prime example in the Mishnayos of a neder shebe taos. Now granted, by the way, we already spoke about this earlier in the Masechta. Hopefully, if I remember correctly, the third parak, where we talked about a neder betalos, making a neder with false information, with simply wrong information. So, the neder is simply not going to be a neder. However, ma'isa be'echad she'neder mibasa choso hanaya. The Mishnah then tells the following incident. Now, usually, when the Mishnah says a halacha followed by a maisa, followed by an incident, the purpose of the incident is to support and substantiate what we just learned together in the Mishnah. Now, if you follow the story carefully, you will see that this story that we're about to read does not support the halacha we just learned in the Mishnah. So let's see the story inside. So a man was suggested to marry his niece. We already discussed this a couple days ago. There's no issur in the Torah to marry your niece. In fact, throughout the Mishnayos, it's suggested / recommended that you marry your niece. It's not one of the arayos in the Torah. And so a person was suggested to marry his niece. And again, I made the observation a couple days ago. You're allowed to marry both your brother's daughter and your sister's daughter. It just happens to be that the Mishnayos always suggest sister's daughter, not brother's daughter. But halachically, there's no difference. It just the Rishonim address this, but it's just a good observation, and it's a true observation. It's always the sister's daughter. So, Shanada Mibasa Choso Hanaya. And so the uncle said, no, I'm not going to marry her. And he made an eder. V'chnisu lebeis Rabbi Yishmael. So now this girl was taken into the house of Rabbi Yishmael v'yafyua. And then Rabbi Yishmael asked the women in his house to help the girl out and basically try to make her look attractive. Amala Rabbi Yishmael b'ni mizuna darta. And they did a great job. And she comes out of the house and she looks great. And Rabbi Yishmael now turns to the uncle and says, right, this is the one that you thought was unattractive? Amala love. So he said, No, not that. V'tirua Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael says, okay, mutter. In other words, I release you from the neder. Now, this story does not perfectly substantiate what we learned earlier. Because what did we learn earlier? What we learned earlier is that he was given misinformation. Over here in this story, not exactly misinformation. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to point that out. Rabbi Yishmael started crying and he said, really, the truth of the matter is that Jewish women are beautiful. It just happens to be that their conditions of life, poverty, make them unattractive. But really, in essence, every Jewish woman is beautiful. And Rabbi Yishmael dies, and you can imagine, it's very easy now to figure out who's going to eulogize him. The women are going to eulogize him. The daughters of Israel, Jewish women throughout the world, eulogized for Rabbi Yishmael. And just happens to be that in Tanakh we find the same thing is true regarding Shaul, that the women were the ones who eulogized the death of Shaul, although not necessarily for the same reasons, but just an episode in Tanakh that supports this idea. I have a suggestion, but I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. But you'll ask me after, and I'll give you my suggestion. Maisa listor chesuri mechzara. So the Gemara says, the story is not backing the Mishnah. The point the Mishnah is making is he was simply wrong about his information. He wasn't given correct information. And then the Gemara tells a story with a girl who the uncle said, I'm not marrying her because she's not attractive. And they brought into the house of Rabbi Yishmael and they made her attractive. So now, what you could argue is that really, in essence, she was attractive and they did a better marketing job. But the Gemara does not see it that way. The Gemara says that no, they really did a good job. And Ben just asked me, is that Nolad? So the answer is going to be yes. So, but before we get to that answer, let's just read the Gemara. So the Gemara says that we are missing a step in the Mishnah. And that is, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Afilu ka'or v'nasas na'a, shchor v'nasas levana, ksar v'nasas aruka. So the part that we're missing in the Mishnah is, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. The Tanakam of our Mishnah says that if you were factually wrong and you made a neder based on your factually incorrect information, okay, go back and you can undo the neder. But according to the Tanakhama, if you weren't wrong and a change occurs after you made the neder, neder is still in force. And on that point, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. And then now we get the story. And now the story is supporting the position of Rabbi Shmuel. And so now to Ben's question, isn't that Nolad? The answer is yes. To which leads the round to the following conclusion. It's a beautiful story. But meanwhile, the halacha doesn't follow like that. Because we know, we already said in the beginning of the parak, Rabbi Eliezer says that you can create a Pesach using Nolad. But we don't side with Rabbi Eliezer. So the Ron points out similarly over here, meaning Rabbi Shmuel now is going to be aligned with Rabbi Eliezer, and being that that's the case, so we're not going to pass on like Rabbi Shmuel as well. Okay. Samech Vav Amud Beis. Tana, the Gemara teaches a brisa from here until the end of the parak, which God willing we're going to get to. So we're going to see a number of stories. Some of these stories that we're going to see are going to be unforgettable. And lessons, powerful lessons that are going to be imparted to us. And even though some of the stories are going to seem a little bit strange, but they're very powerful lessons. Tana Shein Totefes Haisolah. So in the brisa, an eligible woman, so she had she lost a tooth and she had some sort of really poor bridge work that was done. V'asala Rabbi Shmuel Shein Shel Zav, and Rabbi Shmuel made for a Shein Shel Zav a tooth made out of gold. If you like, just maybe helps us understand a little bit better. Maybe it's white gold. So in other words, it blends in better. Okay, so she has a better smile. So Kishach Rabbi Shmuel Pasach Ala Usav Dana. Now again, it speaks again to the same idea that we saw on the bottom of the previous Amud, that's Rabbi Shmuel went out of his way to make the Jewish women look more attractive and make more shiduchim. When Rabbi Shmuel died, so the eulogizer said, "Hachi benos Yisrael, Rabbi Shmuel bekina hama bishchan." So the Saftan, so in terms of making a hesped, so he went back to the Psukim regarding Shaul. After the death of Shaul, the women lamented, and the Saftan, the eulogizer, quoted those Psukim in Sefer Shaul. The husband made the following neder to his wife. You're not going to get any benefit from me until you take your food and you present it to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And you have them eat your food. Okay. Don't ask me. I don't know what's driving this guy to make such a neder. You know, I can only speak to the human condition, and we're humans. We are a little bit complicated. Okay, but the point that's not going to. I mean, it's not going to be the main point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is coming up. Rav Yehuda time. Rav Yehuda says, "Okay, what do you want me to do? Taste your food and get you out of your neder, so that you and your husband can get back together again." Rav Yehuda says, "Sure, no problem at all." Now it's true, right? Basically, like, what am I right now? I'm like, basically, I'm a puppet. I'm like, you know, here, eat, okay. But from Rav Yehuda's perspective, okay, it's a lack of kavod on the part of Rav Yehuda that he's got to do this. But Rav Yehuda says, but I'm going to focus on the goal. And the goal is to get the husband and wife back together again. And Rav Yehuda says, and we hear this argument a number of times in the Gemara. We're going to hear this from Masechta Sota a number of times. Amar Kav HaChomer. He says, look, let's make a very reasonable argument. To create shalom between husband and wife. So what do? We take the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we put it in water, and we erase the name. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I want that to happen. So something that in general we're never allowed to do, erase the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to create shalom between husband and wife, so we do that. So I'm sorry, Hamu'arim b'safik v'ani alachas kama v'kama. And by the way, that might not even create shalom between husband and wife, because she may have committed adultery, and then the story won't end with a happy ending. But on the chance of creating shalom between husband and wife, so Hashem says, erase my name. So Rabbi Yehuda says, now all I have to do is just taste a little bit of food. That's simple. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Now we get to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so good, powerful lesson taught by Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, powerful lesson taught by Rabbi Shimon. One that's going to be a little harder for us to digest, but another powerful lesson. Rabbi Shimon low time. Rabbi Shimon didn't taste the food. Now, by the way, Rabbi Shimon generally throughout the Gemara, when not given a second name, it's usually Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rashbi. And I assume that's true over here. Okay. The Rabbi Shimon low time. Rabbi Shimon did not eat the food. Amar, I know it's going to sound rough. Just a little bit of preparation before we read the next line. Yimutsu kol b'nei aman av ayazu Shimon mimkamo. So the sons of the widow die, but ayazu Shimon mimkamo. But let not the covet of Shimon move from his place. So number one, he says, my covet. Now when he's saying my covet, by the way, so please, if I'm right, and we're talking about the Rashbi, it's not his covet that really bothers him. Meaning, he represents Torah, he represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's just certain ways that a Talmud Chacham has to comport himself, and it's not just him, in other words, it's what he represents. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, I'm not doing it. And furthermore, and there's another rationale as well, the ode, ki hechelo tirgole leminda. All I'm going to be doing is just teaching the husband to make nadarim. Meaning, okay, we'll get out of this neder. And then he'll do it again. And so I'm just rewarding bad behavior. So Rabbi Shimon took the other position, which is I'm not going to taste the food. Okay. Now, Hedy, I know you're tempted to ask me who's right. And I'm not going to take a stand on Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon. Okay? Elu ve'elu, and I don't know.
But usually
there's order to it. The Gemara and Erevin has rules in terms of who we follow.
That's halacha.
Yeah, this is right. This is more than just halacha. These are, okay, I don't know. I know you're tempted. Yeah, yes. Okay, so Haud Amal Devasai Konim Shiat Nanisli Asher Taroki Barbara Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay, this husband again, not getting into his psyche, into his mental state, but he says to his wife, you're not gonna get benefit from me until you spit on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay, also Zaraka Dabushe, so she spits on the clothing of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, if you remember Baba Kama, which admittedly it's been a long time ago in the Shas, but in the eighth parak of Baba Kama, so we learned that busha, that embarrassment, is one of the payments that you pay if you embarrass somebody. But we also, if you remember, that in order to create a busha, you have to spit on the person, not on his clothing. I know it sounds a little bit odd, but that's just simply that's busha back then was more defined by a spit on the person, not on the clothing. So Amalei Rav Acha Mediftel Ravina Baha Hai Lizi Lusika Mechavein. So Rav Acha says, look, technically speaking, she didn't spit on Rabbi Shimon Megimel; she only spit on his clothing, and maybe that shouldn't qualify. So Amalei Meirak Amani Rav Shimon Gamliel Zilusa Rabasahi. So in defense, he said, no, that's degrading. Meaning the husband wanted a degradation of Rav Shimon Gamliel. We're talking about Rav Shimon Gamliel. He is the Nasi. He's a leader of the Jewish people. Just simply spitting on his clothing, that is degradation. The husband, she can now be released from the neder. Another story. Man says to a woman, look, I find nothing attractive about you, and until you can demonstrate something attractive. Now, I know the Gemara here uses the word mum. And mum, generally speaking, means a blemish. But in the context over here, and this is the way the Ran spells out the Gemara, in this context, he means, show me, right, present something attractive to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, where like, you know, so that our marriage continue. Otherwise, he's making an edder against her. So, Amar Lahem Shema Rosh Hanaya. So now, again, this story is going to sound strange, but again, we're going to, you know, there are lessons, powerful lessons to be learned from these. So Amar Lahem Shema Rosh Hanaya. So we go start, you know, basically from the head down. So head, so Amar Lo Segal Gal. So they said, no, the head's round. So Shema Sa'arana'a, well, what about her hair? So Domela Anitze Pishtan. So Gemara says, no, it looks like flax. So Shema Inanos, well, maybe her eyes are attractive. True Tosein. No, they're circular. You remember the Gemara in Shabbos, right? This is just the word trutos is such a strange word. I don't know how much I remember, how much I don't remember. But the Gemara in Shabbos had when the guy goes to Hillel, you know, keeps knocking on his door and asks him the most obscure,
the Hillel in the house.
Right. Is the strangest questions. So one of the questions that he asks is that there are certain people, I forgot where they were from, where their eyes were trutos, right? They're round eyes. So anyway, whatever. It's an unattractive form of the eye. So the eyes are not attractive. So Shema's nanos, what about her ears? So Kfulo say no, they're doubled over. Shema Chotmana, what about her nose? Balum, who? No, the nose is closed up, stopped up. Shema Sifso Seha nose. Well, what about the lips? Avo say, the Gemara says, no, they're very thick. So Shema Tzavarana, well, what about her neck? Shakutu. So it's literally a quiet neck. In other words, not much of a neck. Shema Kresana, what about her stomach? Savahi. The Gemara says it's bloated. Shema Raglehanos, what about her feet? Rachavos Keshel Ivzo. So feet look like geese. So basically from top to bottom. So looking for some redeeming quality about this woman. And right now, not one to be found. Shema Na'eh, so I'm sorry. Shema Shema Na'eh. Well, what about her name? She must have a nice name. So the Gemara says Lach Luchis Shema. No, her name is Lach Luchis, which translates as dirt. So Amar Lahan, so Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, bingo. Yep. Okay, we got it. Okay, we found what's attractive about her, and that is Karen Osa Lach Luchis. Shimulach Lachis Bamumin. So he says, you know what's attractive? The symmetry between her name and her. Meaning, it's a perfect complement that the name goes together with her, Vishayuha. And so therefore permitted. The net has been lifted. Now, admittedly, strange Gemara, strange, difficult to understand. You know, what do we take away from this Gemara? So first of all,
none of these are nether shav.
It's the nether is not a nether. Well, right. First of all, I don't know. So first of all, maybe the one point over here is, first of all, maybe just the Gemara inserts a little bit of humor. It's not the first time we've seen humor in the Gemara. Not to say that the Gemara is a joke, just simply saying that, you know, they understood nuances of sarcasm, of wit. Okay, that's number one. Number two is that, and maybe this was the point of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, but again, the Gemara is not very articulate in terms of what exactly the point was, but also, in other words, when we talk about beauty, so beauty is not an object, there's no objectivity in beauty. In other words, there is a subjective nature in beauty, and even something as finding a match between her name and her, so there's an element of beauty in that as well. Okay, but admittedly, see, Ha'u bar bava dasag la'ar disal. Okay, for those of you with kids, so the popular series Amelia Bedelia, which I still have little kids, so they're great stories. So anyway, I'm telling you, I don't know the author and I don't know where she got these ideas from, but if she learned today's daf, I'm gonna accuse her of plagiarism. So anyway, Ha'u bar bava dasag la'ar disal. So there was a person from Babel who went to Eretz Yisrael, and sometimes you're going to find this. The cultural divide when you know, people from different communities marry one another, right? I'm a product of such. My father's from America. My mother's from South America. They, you know, still getting along. So there's miscommunication. So here you have a Babylonian marrying an Israelite. So Nasif Issa Amrali Bishilili Tre Tapi Bishila. I'm sorry, Tre Tapi. So he asked to have cooked So two lentil beans. Now, but what he meant by that was a little bit. So bishila tre tape. So she cooks two lentil beans. Okay, that was dinner. Rasa chala, he gets very angry. Lamachar mala bishula le griva. So the next day he says, cook for me a lot. Griva means is a massive amount. But again, what he meant by that is no, not two beans, right? Much more than two beans. So bishul agriva. So once again, she followed instructions to the T. So she made a griva, which is a tremendous amount. So amar la zili isile tri butzina. So then he says, okay, go get me two pumpkins, right? Azav isile tri shrage. And as the Ran points out over here, that in the Aramaic, the word butzina comes out also to mean lamps. So she brings in two lamps. To him. Again, taking his words super literally. And again, the miscommunication because of the cultural divide between Israel and Babel. So Amale Zil Tavri Yasan Areshit the Babel. So he says, I want you to take those two lamps and break them over the front gate. Have Yasid Baba Membuta Abava. Now Baba Membuta happened to have been sitting at the front gate. The Kad Dain Dina. And at the time, he was judging. So Azavatabi Yasan Areshe. So she takes the two lamps and she breaks them over the head of Baba Ben Buta. Okay. Amala Mahadein Davarita. So Baba Ben Buta turns around and says, Can you give me some explanation of what is happening over here? Amale Kachsi Vani Bali. So she says, that's what my husband told me to do. I'm just following instructions. Amar Ata Sein Ritzon Balech. So Baba Ben Buta gives her a bracha. And the bracha goes like this. You're doing the will of your husband. Hamakum yotzi mimcha shnei banim kebaba ben buta. Akash Baruch Hu should give you two children, just like Baba ben buta. So again, by the way, what do you see from here? Again, powerful lesson over here, and that is, A, the patience of Baba ben buta, the reaction of Baba ben buta when, I would say, a regular person, when totally unsolicited gets something smacked over their head, so would not react as calmly, not respond with a bracha, look for the good interaction. She did what her husband told her to do. Hajjan Alach Rabbi Elazar, that is the end of the ninth parak of the Masechta.